Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, final hour here on a football Friday. We will finish picking the wild card games that are not Commanders and Bucks when we actually pick Commanders and Bucks at the end of the show. Obviously, we got a little turned around there with Mike Mayock. Initially at 5:30, then went to 5:45. But that is that. What we are going to do now, though, is continue our preview of Commanders and Bucks. And we do that pick six style because it's Friday and that's what we do. And if Dan Quinn says, hey, we're just trying to keep the same routine, why wouldn't we keep the same routine?
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Friday edition of the Pick Six goes like this. Who are the most important players to the outcome of the Commanders-Bucks game, or the Commanders game, in this case, Commanders-Bucks, that aren't quarterbacks? That is how we roll on a Friday. Anthony, I believe you have the first pick this week. We pick three. We catch our breath. We pick three more. You are up first, sir.
Number one.
Number one, Mr. Craig Hoffman. This one might take you by surprise. Or maybe not. I'm going with Tyler Biadasz, man. I'm going with Tyler Biadasz. Again, I think he has done the best job amongst all our linemen in terms of navigating, like, who's blitzing. He's helped Jaden out. He's helped all the rest of the linemen out. And I think against a team like, you know, the Bucks, who loves to put pressure and send blitzes from everywhere, I think this guy has seen everything. He'll be able to, you know, help Jaden in the second go-round against the Bucks. Also, he's going to be tasked with going up against a Vita Vea, Kalaji Kansi. So he's going to have his hands full. I think dominating the trenches, you guys touched on it all throughout the show today, I think it's going to start with the communication up front, and that's going to be led by Tyler Biadasz.
That's a phenomenal pick, Anthony.
Thank you, sir.
That's the best pick you've ever made in this segment.
Good gracious.
There's so many angles to why Biadasz is central to their victory this weekend, and you just touched on pretty much all of them. One, who's coming? Because they definitely struggled with that in week one, and Jaden was able to make some chicken salad out of stepping in chicken dung. And that's great, but we need better. And knowing who's coming and when it's coming and where it's coming from gives you a chance to at least slow it down enough to get that quick out to whoever, get the quick comeback route to Zach Ertz, to Alameda, to Jameson. Like, those guys all become really, 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 really important, and maybe we'll talk about them more. But then you just have the reality that you have two very, very different players that you're going to have to deal with inside. Vita Vea sometimes is going to be one-on-one pass rushing against Tyler Biadasz because he is a true nose that lines up as a true nose, but they also line him up as a shade, and so sometimes they'll be, you know, in the run game, you're going to have to double-team him, you're going to have to block him one-on-one, you have to do all that stuff. Kansi is the other really interesting one because I think there's opportunity with Kansi. I don't think the part of Take Command we're playing includes this snippet, but this is why you should just listen to the whole hour-long preview. Find time tomorrow or Sunday. The game's not till Sunday night. Listen to the entirety of Take Command, but we'll give you a little bit coming up at 6:30. But Logan talked about how this dude's super quick, super fast, so you have to be on your P's and Q's. But he's not, like, he's an Aaron Donald starter kit, smaller, undersized, super quick from Pitt. But he's not the full Aaron Donald, because Aaron Donald was also the strongest guy on the field. Kalaji Kansi's not. He's 280 pounds, and you can push him around a little bit. And so I think there's opportunity to run right at Kalaji Kansi and bury him with double teams and get some movement along that line. And Biadasz is going to be a part of basically all of those double teams. So I think there's a ton of on Tyler Biadasz's plate, and he's not full strength. He's just not. He was a full participant today. That's great. He's going to play in the game, but how much, especially if also you want to pull him and get him out on the edge. He's been one of your best pullers this year. The play he got hurt on was a play where he got rolled up on pulling. So can he get out on the edge? I think there's so much to talk about with Tyler Biadasz, but we just did. So that was number one.
Number two.
I'm just going to go super obvious here. One of the big things I talked about earlier in the show is your stars have to play like stars. And so I'm going Terry. And there's a lot of ancillary pieces that have to go right to win a playoff game. But I think on a very baseline level, you have to set your stars up. Think about the Chiefs the last 3 years. How many bad games has Travis Kelce had in the playoffs? Basically none that I can remember. When they need him, he is there. And there are a ton of other examples of great players on the edges or running backs that have carried teams through playoff games. And sure, you might have an unsung hero, but often the big players are the ones that step up in the biggest moments. And this is not just on Terry to be the guy that we know he is. And my God, he was great in the last drive last week. Not only the game winner, but whew, the two catches he made on the slant and the dig to get first downs when they needed it, that was so major, so big time. So think back to week one, Jaden barely looked his way. I don't think they realized what kind of weapon they had. Now they all know. Everybody in the building, everybody in Raymond James Stadium is going to know. 17 is going to be involved. They move him around a lot more. That even increases on third downs. Like, it is hard to overstate how important he is to them. And not just from the production, but the energy he brings when he's involved. Get him involved early. Keep him involved the entire game. I would assign like a quality control coach to count every 10 snaps. And if Terry doesn't have a touch every 10, actually screw that, every like six snaps. If Terry doesn't have a play called for him every six snaps, that guy's job is to go tap Cliff on the shoulder and go, hey, Terry time. okay, cool. Got it. Like, it's got to be with a high level of consistency. Mess around, find out. Terry McLaurin, number two.
I love it, man. Hold on.
Number three.
Number three is the Craig Hoffman.
I love when you go, Mr. Craig Hoffman, the hands get rubbing. And I know there's some good stuff coming. Let's go.
Here we go. I'm going with Jalen McMillan. And I'm going with him because I feel like all eyes are going to be on Marshawn and Mike Evans. And I think they're going to have a great duel. But this guy has sort of kind of flown under the radar, in my opinion, all week. Because this guy, in the last five games, he's had seven touchdowns. So he's been that other guy that Baker Mayfield has been spreading the ball around to. And it's going to be interesting to see who's matched up against him, whether it's going to be Mikey, whether it's going to be Noah Eye. I'm not sure who's going to, you know, be tasked with dealing with him. But the fact that he has been super impactful as of late gives me reason to, you know, have some type of concern just because I feel like a lot of attention is going to be at Mike Evans. But this guy, we got to make sure we don't allow him to get off. And Mikey, he's played well this year. He won Pepsi Rookie of the week this past week. So let's see if he can step up in this big moment and go out there and put on.
Mikey's a big-time player, and I do like him against a fellow rookie where it's not like some veteran know-how that might get him. But Jalen's a really good route runner. He's just a good player, and he's really come on in the last month or so. He had production earlier, but they've found ways to use him, and he's going to have some matchups probably with Noah, some with Mikey. And I think that's going to be definitely huge. I think the other thing, too, and we'll talk about this more as we go here, the ability to make plays off schedule, the plaster, and a guy like McMillan seems to have a pretty good feel for that based off where he's getting some of his catches. So it's in structure, it's out of structure, all these guys. Yeah, Evans is huge. Otten is great for them, but we'll see if he's going to play and just how healthy he is. He's a little banged up. No, we know about Evans and Lattimore, but McMillan is definitely a weapon. And so I think that's a great call. And I also think that the corners for Washington, we should probably talk about it from that end. Like, Mikey won Rookie of the Week because he had a couple of really big-time highlight-level plays. He also had some other plays that shouldn't go on the Rookie of the Week tape. And that's kind of who he's been, is when you throw at him, it can be a big chunk play or he might de-cleat your receiver. And over time, he's going to become more consistent because he's a rookie who's in his third year playing corner ever. He was a wide receiver when he got to Michigan. Meanwhile, Noah, Oh my God. Not a good month of December for Noah Igbinoghene. So can they get him in some tough spots? Can they get him on some bad matchups? Like, I think Marshawn probably follows Mike Evans to the slot because they're going to try to get Mike on Noah in the slot. And so, like, there's going to be some games played, some guys playing in some funky positions as they move Mike Evans around and Marshawn shadow. So there's a lot of communication that needs to happen too. And a guy like McMillan might be the type of guy that gets lost in the wash. Can't have that happen as it did in week one. When we get back, we will take a look at the other three players that we are going to select. Actually, we'll pick them. We don't even know who they are yet. Blanks on the sheet of paper. So the final three in our pick six next before you hear from Logan previewing this game coming up at 6:30. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa Chicken. How you wanna at Wawa with customizable, crispy, or roasty chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30, you'll hear from Logan Paulson and his thoughts on how he would get Jaden Daniels ready for his first playoff game if he was Cliff Kingsbury facing this Tampa team. But we continue right now with our pick six at six. We pick the six most critical players, not named quarterback, so not named Jaden Daniels, not named Baker Mayfield, to the Commanders' success on Sunday, whether stopping them or getting them going. And that leads us to number four, Anthony.
Number four.
Number four, I'm going to take Bucky Irving, the Tampa Bay Bucks rookie running back. And it's not just stopping him as a running back. And it's interesting because earlier in the show, Trevor Sikkema said he sees Bucky Irving as a guy that is not necessarily like the big hitter. Like he'll burst through and get you 7-8 yards. And I actually don't know that I agree with Trevor on that. I look at him as more of the Saquon Barkley type, where if he's trying to get downhill and the run's muddy, he's not going to find a crease and, you know, fall forward for an extra 5 yards or whatever. He's not that kind of back. He is one that will look for a crease. His vision is fantastic. If there's a crease there, he's going to find it. And he is a big play guy. And the numbers seem to back that up. He's a guy who has a high EPA per rush, lower success rate. I think he's number four in the league in EPA per rush. Really, really impressive. But he's only 13th in success rate. So success rate is telling you how often you're consistently getting the yardage that you need based off of the success rate formula, which is basically, do you get on first and second down half the yardage remaining on third down? Do you get the first down? Same thing with fourth down versus EPA per play is like, oh, you scored a touchdown. That's a lot of points you just added to the board. EPA stands for estimated points added. You got a first down on a play on a second and 12 and you pick up 15. Like that's a huge EPA boost. Like he's a guy that will kill you on some of the bigger stuff and just finds ways to extend drives, things like that, or score. The other way he kills you though, that we haven't talked about as much today, is the screen game. And their screen game is the best in the league. They have the best statistics on screens of basically every single kind, advanced statistics, basic statistics, whatever. And the Commanders actually have been pretty good at stopping that. So that war of the screen game, Bucky Irving and frankly otherwise, Rashad White and the receivers and on down the list, that could be one of the big things for this game, because if you can shut down a screen and it's a minus two or an incomplete or even a 2 yard gain and they're stuck in second and eight, they run it. Irving can't get anywhere. Now it's third and long. Like, okay, we can live on third and long. If it's third and two and the whole playbook's open, well, Tampa's real aggressive on third and short. Let me tell you, it's a couple deep shots to Mike Evans in the first game on third and short. So I think it's going to be a really fascinating part of it. Obviously, the running game, the screen game, Bucky Irving's involved in it all. He is number four in our pick six at six.
Number five.
Number five. I've been going back and forth on who I want to go
with.
Is
that why we didn't get a full Mr. Craig Hoffman?
Nah, yeah, because I'm not.
There's a little indecision here.
Too much. I think I'm going to go with my guns. I think I'm going to go with John Allen. Mm. And in part, I feel like, as you guys have, you know, talked about and discussed all throughout the show today, the trenches are going to be very important. Who wins that battle up front is ultimately probably who's going to end up winning the game. So I just feel like John Allen, you know, he did have a sack last week. He's coming back from injury. He's the freshest of everybody on the defensive front. So I think his impact can be a little bit more just because he is a little bit more fresh than everybody else. And just as a leader, like who he is, if we're going to go out there, we're going to win games. We're going to need our best players to, you know, go out there and make plays. You already talked about Terry. I'm expecting Bobby to, you know, go out there and show off. He's been here before. John Allen, let's go out there. Let's make some plays.
I love this pick. John needs to, and Duran, and Johnny Newton, all of them. We talk about making the runs muddy for Bucky Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy pal, please eat those blocks. Just, you need to take a knee and shove that double team. You cannot get washed out of your gap. And if he can get into those C-gap runs where he gets outside, like, those are big chunk plays for Bucky Irving. He's real good. So one, pass rush, and he had a couple pressures in week one where he doesn't finish, and like that can't happen. For everyone, finish the freaking pass rush. You've done the hard part. You've gotten to the quarterback. Bring him down. But Baker's very slippery, and he runs a lot more this year, and he's running better than he ever has. But also, in the run game, making sure that you are really disciplined. So it ultimately comes down to something we've been talking about with John Allen and Daron Payne since they were paired up with Montez Sweat and Chase Young, and it's gap discipline. Pass rusher, run, like, it's not sexy, but neither is D-line play. Do your job, do it well, and you can have a good day. You get washed, you get beat, or you try to jump and make a play, then it could be a long day at the office of a lot of hands on hips as Bucky Irving runs down the field and you're watching from the backfield. Last but not least,
number six.
I'm going to go with a man who was mysteriously missing last week at first, and then we heard what happened. He was sick. Quan Martin. Quan is so important to what they do. He is one of the turnover drivers, which is enormous for this defense. Can he get a pick? Can he force a fumble? He gets in these piles late and he punches at the ball. Like, whether it's a receiver or a running back, that stuff's super important. If we're talking about runs that out to the perimeter, your safeties have to get there and they have to get there quickly. That's really important. Also, as a pass, defender, I think there were some times last week where Percy Butler's, I don't want to say necessarily even inexperience, but inexperience and or rust showed where, like, Noah Igbinoghene gets beat. It's on Noah. He's the primary culprit here. But if you see that as a free safety, do you latch onto that crossing route and realize my corner's toast? That's where the ball's going, and I got to get there now. And maybe you get there fast enough to knock the ball out, but at the very least, you turn a huge mistake into an 18-yard gain instead of a catch-and-run 35-yard gain. That kind of stuff where Quan Martin's recognition, if stuff does go wrong underneath and a guy gets loose, is huge. He's a missile on screens. Like, he's the guy that man-to-man is probably going to cover Bucky Irving if he splits out wide. It might cover Bucky Irving in man-to-man situations anyway. He'll probably be covering Rashad White in man-to-man situations. He could be covering Kate Otten in man-to-man situations, although that typically the tight ends goes to Jeremy Chinn's side of things. But there's just so many ways in which Quan Martin is a huge player for them. And because he's a guy that they rely on to help force turnovers, I'm going to put the spotlight on him this week. And again, whether it's hey, we're throwing deep on to Mike Evans, or we're throwing deep to Jalen McMillan, like, can you patrol center field? Or can you get underneath and jump around? Because here, that's the last thing I'll say. Baker will throw it. If he thinks he sees a window, that dude will jam a football in there. Go catch it. Go catch it. Quan Martin's a guy who can drive on it. He sees the field well. Quan Martin wraps up our pick six at six. We still have to pick this game. We'll do that coming up before the end of the show. We'll also make sure we have all our picks on record for the rest of Wildcard Weekend. Up next, though, how does Jaden Daniels attack this Buccaneers defense with the help of Terry McLaurin and friends? Logan Paulson gives his take as a Take Command preview takes us towards the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, when we wrap here on the Team 980.